Thank you for downloading this hour of Red Eye Radio. This podcast is brought to you by Freightliner Trucks.
The Red Eye Radio phone lines are open. Call with your hot opinions. 1-866-90-RED-EYE.
And he's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara. First, your story is bizarre. You're saying what? That on the possible shortlist for new Fed chairman is...
Timothy Geithner.
Oh, jeez.
That's one of the three names being thrown around right now. Obviously, the White House isn't saying anything. But Timothy Geithner's on that short list, along with Lawrence Summers and Janet Yellen. And just keep in mind, the Fed chairman, Bernanke, is going to wrap it up at the end of January 2014.
All right. I don't know what to think about this one.
Hmm?
Golf legend Gary Player.
Okay.
From South Africa.
Right.
77 years old.
Hmm.
And in the upcoming issue of ESPN, the magazine... ESPN announced the names of the athletes who posed nude for the magazine's fourth annual body issue, which hits newsstands on July 12th.
Wait, why?
Gary Player.
Why would be nude? Why do they need to do nude? Is it not about sports?
Well, I don't know if they actually show them fully nude. You know, probably they cover up. It's ESPN, the magazine.
So, right, yeah. Right. It's not an adult issue?
Not that I know of,
and
no.
So the point would be...
Well, Gary Player tweeted and said, after a lifetime dedicated to health and fitness, I'm happy to be in ESPN Magazine's body issue to hopefully inspire others to work out and live well. I mean, he is in great... this guy works out. He is in good shape.
And, have you seen him nude before?
Well,
I mean, that was a pretty bold statement. He's in great shape. He works out. There's got to be some reason you've said that.
Because I've seen him interviewed. Seen him in fact, I watched, there was an interview with Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and I forgot who the other one was. Wow.
Yeah.
And the other guy, a couple of months ago that I watched on the Golf Channel, and they talked about what great shape he's in.
Okay.
Yeah. I was trying to think of.
Well, I mean, cause he's 77, so it's all relative here, you know.
Yes, it is. It is definitely relative. Yes. So.
Okay.
So he will be the seventh golfer to appear in the magazine.
Seventh golfer to appear. Now, do they do this every year?
I just happened to see the story. I didn't know about it. Apparently, this is something that's off my radar that I ever paid. I just happened to see the headline, Gary Player to pose
nude. If the swimsuit issue from Sports Illustrated is such a big deal every year, how is the nude issue for ESPN's magazine not a big deal? I mean, how is it that I'm just hearing about this? How is it that it's not been all over the media every year? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because every year when they issue the Sports Illustrated, everybody talks about it. They all talk about it.
Well, did Mickey dress up?
Mickey.
Mouse.
Yeah.
And then was that Disney?
No.
I mean, that's,
no. He's never posed nude. He's always had pants, at least.
Okay. I'm looking for images. I put in.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm
careful on that one.
Okay.
You just violated 147 company policies.
Okay. Well, let's. No, I put in nude issue of ESPN. It's for the show. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah. You put
wasn't
in nude
Donald
on,
Duck pantsless?
He is.
Yeah. All right. I'm looking at.
He's without pants.
It's not. I mean, it's not. They don't show any. You know. You don't see any breasts or any other private areas. You know,
so what's the point of being
women,
nude?
They have women, but it's right. You see, they are completely naked, but you just don't see the parts.
Okay,
I'm looking at it right here, so they cover up all the different.
So it is
areas.
Safe for work. It's an SFW version.
So you don't see their putter.
No, you do not.
Apparently, don't. Brian, he's not carrying any golfing equipment with him.
Okay. I love taking this show on a weird turn.
I've got 147 jokes.
This is innocent.
Ready to go.
This is innocent.
I know exactly, and I'll tell you two of them right
away. No, this is innocent. I happen to see the story and boom. So there you go. So there it is. Images, just put nude issue of ESPN and then images, and they all came up. So
yeah, well, I bet a lot more came up there.
Like I said, it's not full nudity though, but they are nude.
Mm-hmm. You know,
So, and as someone who used to live
nude
on the beach,
nude beach,
no, I lived on the beach between Fort Walton Beach, Florida,
mm-hmm.
and Pensacola,
right.
And as someone who spent plenty of time on the beach for roughly 3 years,
mm-hmm.
the majority of human bodies are ugly,
yeah,
and have no business.
Some of them are not, though.
I don't want women topless. I want men on the beach to put their tops back on.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I view it.
Right.
The human body is not beautiful.
Some of them are.
As Jerry Seinfeld said, less than 5%.
Yeah, but that 5%.
And I think Kramer said, no, I think it's closer to 1.
Yeah, it might be. But that 1%.
Airbrushed? Certainly
holy
is.
Holy cow. That's all I'm saying.
All right, to you we go. Let's talk to Jonathan in San Jose, California, listening on KSFO. Jonathan, you're on Red Eye Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Very good.
Good, good. So I don't have a horse in the race because I live in California. You know, we're going to vote Democratic right away. But I really do feel like you're being kind of intellectually dishonest about this issue because
What issue?
Well, the Supreme Court issue. Like, you always say, tell me where...
Which one?
Which Supreme Court issue?
The issue with the voting rights.
Okay.
So you're saying you made the Al Capone reference saying, you know, Chicago tapping, you know, it's not going on. But the thing about it is going on. Since 06, there's been like 30 instances where the Oversight Committee has rejected offers put by those states that fall under that umbrella and said, no, you know, this can't happen. There's been about 30 instances. So it's still going on. It's alive and well. And then you say
right, and you go after those areas because you. By the way, you're wrong when you said you're in California where this doesn't happen because there are California counties that are part of this. There were California counties, and our point is simply this: that you don't judge. You judge these areas by what's going on now, and of course, yeah. There's always reports. Nobody denied that there aren't reports.
And we never made the point that it wasn't. In fact, we went out of our way, Jonathan, to make the point that racism does exist, and even the court wasn't trying to say racism doesn't exist. Jonathan, hold on. What we were saying was you don't need a map. You can assume the safer assumption is that it could happen anywhere, right?
What I'm saying is in the map that is previously set that was just thrown out, in that map, there's been 30 instances that have gone.
Are you saying that racism doesn't happen anywhere else?
No, I'm not.
Okay, then. That's our point. You don't need, the states don't need permission from the federal government to get there to change anything about voting because, and it doesn't, even this law, this is the point that Justice Thomas was making, is that, look, you don't need a map to assume that racism can happen anywhere. So we need to closely monitor every location.
But what you're saying is, okay, if there's an instance where it happens, then you could bring it up to judicial review or whatever, and everything gets fixed.
Well, no. In fact, the justices, the Supreme Court allowed for them to even redraw the map. Now, keep in mind that Section 5 is still very much alive and in play. They did not strike down Section 5. So if Congress came up with a new map with new locations and said these locations, there's institutional racism, and Congress passed those and passed it through to put those locations on the map, Section 5 would still require those locations to get permission.
Yes, but Congress now, more than ever, in my opinion, is fiercely divided. There is no, they can't agree on anything. There's no way.
Then change the makeup of Congress.
Agree on a map.
Then change the makeup of Congress. I mean, we have the ability to do that. If we don't like what they're doing, if we believe that there was something going on, it would be painfully obvious, and we can change the makeup of that.
But it is painfully obvious because in those states, it's still going on. And if you try to change
where is it going on? Where is the one incident that just one incident where it's going on?
It's going on in Texas. It's going on
where in Texas?
Where?
We live in Texas.
Specifically, what is the incident you're referring to?
I don't have any stats in front of me right now. So
okay, that's okay. That's what we thought.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
all right.
So you look it up. It said 30 instances.
Uh huh.
Well, I can't. I just put that in Google, and I can't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
Where did you get that story from?
Jonathan, for the sake of the argument, you're absolutely correct, and you are accurate 100% on 30 instances. Here's what needs to be done. Congress needs to go through and put those locations back on the map, which they can do, and that's exactly how the court ruled.
But they're not going to do that because we can't agree on anything.
Well, then fine. Then the Justice Department is allowed to come in, and the Justice Department can come in and then go to Congress and make it public so everybody knows exactly what's going on, so changes are made at the state level.
Okay, but
it's useless because he can't bring us these.
Jonathan,
he can't bring us specific examples,
right,
and
Jonathan,
I can't find it anywhere.
You're saying here's the problem. You want to make the argument about this is absolute and will never change, and you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong.
Right, and I can't find where his story anyway, and he doesn't can't tell us where the reference comes to, so he's just hearing that from hearsay.
Right,
and that doesn't cut it. So he figures if he can yell out 30 cases.
And again, for the sake of the argument,
without being able to back it up,
contact
that somehow
the Justice Department and contact local officials. And this would absolutely be a massive story if institutional racism exists and it's suppressing votes, keeping people from voicing their loudest opinion.
866-907-3339, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, reading part of George Will's column on the whole Voting Rights Act, and as he writes, Tuesday's decision came 8 months after a presidential election in which African Americans voted at a higher rate than whites. It came when in a majority of the 9 states covered by the preclearance requirements in the Voting Rights Act, blacks are registered at a higher rate than whites. It came when Mississippi, who was under the preclearance act of the Voting Rights Act, has more black elected officials, not more per capita, more than any other state.
Mm.
And again, you know, he's even says, you know, Justice Breyer is saying, imagine a state has a plant disease and in 1965 you recognize the presence of that disease. Now it's evolved, but we know one thing, the disease is still there in that state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the left is saying is since it was there in 1965, mm-hmm. it's still there now.
Right.
That the disease, well, that's ridiculous because times have changed. Mm-hmm. As we all know, times have changed. Attitudes, have changed. And here's the thing that upsets so many. It's voter ID.
Right.
That's what upsets the left,
mm-hmm.
is now voter ID
mm-hmm.
in these states. For example, Texas. That's mm-hmm. all that kept Texas from having the voter ID mm-hmm. law, which is why Governor Perry immediately went back to say, okay, we're going to voter ID.
Right.
And that's not about restricting anyone because you can get a voter ID for free.
By the way, we have a story from Reuters.
Yes.
Yes. That actually showed that in Georgia, that the black registration and black voter turnout was greater after voter ID.
Yep.
And so if you look at all of this, and I would say, okay, to the extent that racism still exists in the South or anywhere else, yes, it does. Is institutional racism at play? Well, let's just say this. If it is, it would be quickly found and rightly stamped out because the people would not stand for it.
Democratic claims that this is from Reuters, not a conservative outlet. Democratic claims that a large number of Americans could be prevented from voting because of photo identification laws are probably overstated.
Mm-hmm.
Based on evidence from Georgia and Indiana, the 2 states where the laws have been in place for multiple elections. Data in numerous interviews by Reuters reporters also suggests there is little evidence. To bolster Republican assertions that voter IDs are needed to combat rampant voter fraud. Nobody mm-hmm. said rampant voter fraud. We said there's voter fraud.
Well, it's and that's the
and
whole
it,
thing
it does
is
exist,
that
as we know.
you don't show your ID at the store, the bank, or to TSA because you're a criminal, Gary. Not everyone who goes through is a criminal. We don't lock our doors at night because someone attempts to break in every night. It's in case. It is a preventative measure. So that's the only point.
Reuters found higher voter turnout since they took effect in both states, Georgia and Indiana.
Yes.
As you have said, so.
And so, the again, you're trying to end in Texas with voter ID, the state has agreed to pay for those who can't afford to to buy a government ID. The state will pay that cost.
And here's a major Democratic criticism of the law is that they suppress voter turnout among young minorities and the elderly who are less likely to have required photo identification and are more likely to vote Democratic. Yet the opposite has occurred in Indiana and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, and it's about fraud. It's not about keeping anybody from voting. That's the last thing that we would ever support.
Right.
And that's why we've said with the, Voters' Right Act, update it.
Sure.
Don't use data from 1965.
Yeah. Top of the hour news for Tango Transport.
This is Red Eye Radio on the Cumulus Media Network. Now, live from Dallas, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-907-3339, 866-90-RED-EYE. Whoever he is, and I'm whoever I am over here. I'm just reading a story that came out.
What happened
late last night?
Is this breaking news? Do we need the breaking news sounder?
Not really.
Do we need the crow or the wheel?
No, because it's more sports news than anything else.
Okay.
But you're going to be hearing this.
Uh-oh.
Danica Patrick is not a race car driver, says TV analyst Kyle Petty.
Yes, and Kyle, of course, being from the legendary family, is... Dad being the king, as they call him in NASCAR, and Kyle drove for a long time.
Appearing on Speed's NASCAR Race Hub program, the Fox Sports TNT analyst and former NASCAR driver said Patrick is a marketing machine but not a racer.
Yeah, he says it's at some point it's too late to learn.
Yes.
In other words, there's only so much you can do. It's like, if I wanted to, try out for an NFL team or something, it's a little past that.
Are you implying that you had the talent when you were younger that you could have been trained to do it?
Nope.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Nope. I would have to start from scratch. And that's obvious. Unless I wanted to be a quarterback, anybody can do that. But the thing is that with Danica, as long as she's marketable, she'll always have somebody who will sponsor her car, which means she'll always have a car, which means she'll always be in the game.
Danica's a perfect example of somebody who can qualify better than what she runs.
And that's the idea. She's great at qualifying, and then running is different
competition. Let me just scan quickly, see if he calls her a woman driver here. No, that doesn't appear. All right, another story here, then your calls and comments. I got to get to this one because we had talked about this earlier this week. The president attempting to enact his goal of skyrocketing electricity prices.
Mm-hmm.
The Heritage Foundation, just on their blog, did things that will cost more under President Obama's climate change plan. Before President Obama's speech yesterday, the Heritage Foundation explained the president's dilemma. Let's pretend we were able to stop emitting all carbon immediately.
All right.
Forget the electricity to cool our homes in the summer months. Shut down all power plants. Everybody stops driving cars. Mm-hmm. No talking.
Right, and trees and plants.
No living. Everything would be gone.
Right.
The Science and Public Policy Institute found that the global temperature would decrease by 0.17 degrees Celsius by 2100.
Wow, 0.17. That's freezing if it drops that far.
So that's if everything, that's if everything was stopped. And, of course, that's not what the president's advocating. And what they're trying to say is, and this is even, Bjorn Lomborg, who is a liberal environmentalist, even says the same thing. He goes, I believe that man is causing some of the input of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, which of course man is doing that. We know that without question. Mm-hmm. And he believes there's an effect, doesn't know what the effect is, but he believes that the solution that the liberals are coming up with does nothing or has it, or more likely has the opposite effect, as we've said all along, which is why we caught Al Gore finally had to admit that he lied.
Right.
On ethanol. But what President Obama's climate change plan would do, it would increase the price of just about everything.
Yes.
It would hike the cost of living. Think of your day. Everything you buy, everything you eat, everything you wear, it was all produced using energy. Just a few of the things that will be more expensive under President Obama's plan. Heating and cooling your home will be more expensive. Buying a car and driving from your work commute to soccer practices and everywhere in between. Turning on your lights, washing and drying clothes. But that's not all. Think even bigger. What will it mean for President Obama's war on coal? Maybe hike natural gas prices by 42%, some are thinking, because if all coal is gone. And you have to replace it with natural gas.
The
demand for natural gas goes up,
yep.
And that skyrockets.
Yep. So it's interesting here. Think about this. Skyrocketing energy prices, even if you're talking about coal specifically, which he was in that, and we played the audio from that interview that he did, it doesn't matter that you're talking about coal, because if you have to switch to, if these plants are forced to go to natural gas, they will. But the demand on that, and by the way, if you expedite the process of switching to natural gas, that transition, that conversion in a quicker fashion means that the cost of that conversion is passed along also in a quicker fashion. So there's your higher price on natural gas, along with the added demand on natural gas, which will naturally drive the price up.
The result would be a 500,000 lost jobs, according to Heritage Foundation research.
I think that's a conservative
estimate. Family of four would lose more than $1,000 in annual income, and on top of that, electricity prices will increase by 20%. Again, that's the Heritage Foundation. Again, that's speculation. But we know it won't be cheaper because the president's plan,
right.
His goal, in his own words, yeah. is to skyrocket electricity prices. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, that's still open for anybody. We want to keep the phones open since we brought this up on Wednesday morning, and we didn't get a chance to talk much about it yesterday, but we got two calls two nights ago that said, yes, they agree that electricity prices should naturally skyrocket. We had other Democrats that called and said, no, they disagree with President Obama's policy to skyrocket electricity prices. But that's his policy, in his mm-hmm. own words.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really amazing because everything, and if you look at this week, if you look at immigration, if you look at what the president wants to do on energy, if you look at all the major things that are the president's proposing, everyone is a job killer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a job killer, and it increases the cost of goods and services to the American public. So the opposite's going on. While most people are concerned, what are we going to do about jobs in the economy? The president wants to skyrocket prices, skyrocket electricity prices, and kill the manufacturing sector in this
mm-hmm.
country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that we can say that on the air. And we get liberals that will try to pick holes in everything, but we've said that now, and nobody debates us on it. Democrats do not want a manufacturing base. Democrats want to kill the manufacturing base in this country. They want to make it harder for blue collar workers to find a job.
Why else would you support that policy?
Right. They want it harder for unions to exist.
Mm-hmm.
They want union jobs to go away.
Yep.
They want non-union jobs to go away, and they want the cost of your life to go up. And we've asked this question many times. Is the role of government to make our lives tougher, or do we elect public officials to make our life easier? Mm. What is the goal? Why do we do all of this? Somebody like Mayor Bloomberg believes it's his job to be your nanny.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you vote him in.
Mm-hmm. To control your life.
To control your life.
You're too stupid.
Right. To make your life harder, not easier.
Right.
That's not why I vote people into office. I vote people into office to make my life easier.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Misty in Decatur, Texas. Misty, welcome. Hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Hi.
Hi. I was just wondering if they redefine the maps, if they redefine what racism is, maybe the Black Panthers wouldn't have been allowed to stand outside the voting booth all day. I believe that they never did any jail time for that.
No, they did not.
No.
And the Justice Department never pursued it.
Right. They dropped that case.
Yeah.
Very good point.
Yep.
We go to Tom in Napa, California, listening on KSFO. Tom, you're on Red Eye Radio.
I'm in Oakland now. she just took my what I was going to talk about.
Well, that's interesting because it's funny. I think the conversation has come up online too, Tom, and we appreciate the call. But the conversation came up online. The exact same point was made, saying, "Okay, hold on a second. We have had anomalies. We've had problems here, and one very specifically that everybody knows about, and it was all in the news, is one that the Justice Department didn't even pursue."
Did he just call? Did he just say? I couldn't understand him. Did he say he forgot what he wanted to talk about?
No, no, no. He said she stole his thunder.
Oh,
the previous caller stole his thunder. That's exactly what he wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Because I was like, I'm going to apologize. You know, sorry, but we get lots of calls. Let's go to Jim in Chicago, listening on WLS. Jim, welcome. Hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Hi.
Hi. You guys haven't mentioned the Ellen Katz study that was cited in the Ginsburg dissent. And according to that 2006 study, she claims that discrimination with voting is still prevalent in those covered jurisdictions.
Well, it depends what you call discrimination. Any voter ID law they consider as discrimination, and we don't. So you have to look at what is discrimination and what is not discrimination.
Well, the study is like from 2006. Is that included?
Well, voter ID has been around for a lot. The concept of voter ID for decades has been debated. I've been in talk radio for 23 years, and it's been a topic of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, would Ginsburg said in her dissent been disproven by anybody? Because she's claiming that from the study that the if you compare the two areas, the covered and the non-covered, there's a definite
Of course there would be. You know why?
In the covered area.
Of course there would be. You know why?
Why?
Because the non-covered don't have to report anything to the federal government, and the covered have to report everything. So the instances of discrimination are always going to be higher in where the federal government is monitoring. If the federal government is doing an analysis of where discrimination is happening.
Mm-hmm. And again, for the sake of argument, if you must believe that this could happen anywhere. So instead of saying we should only focus in one area, why isn't everyone on the left saying, wait a minute, we absolutely need to have a better focus in all areas?
Right. Their thing is you have to update it. You cannot use the data from 1965 to judge what you're going to do in 2013. 48 years later, you've got to constantly monitor and update this. And why? Because, here we go again, equality. Mm-hmm. You must monitor all these places to make sure, because a place that had discrimination 48 years ago doesn't today. For example, in Mississippi, we know that there are more black officials than in any state of the union. Mm-hmm. Not per capita, as they said, but more than any other state. So, is discrimination still there? Are blacks being denied the right to vote?
I'm sure the question is it institutional racism to the point that it is suppressing votes?
Right. And what's your judgment on it? What is considered racism today versus racism back then?
Mm-hmm.
What is the benchmark of racism?
Right.
If you say we want voter ID, that's considered to the left in this country and to the current federal government, that is considered a racist policy.
If you disagree with this president, you're considered by some to be a racist. So let's how about we revisit the word and talk about what's really going on? Is anybody being kept from voting because of their skin color?
866-907-3339, 866-90-RED-EYE.
How do you know which battery is the best battery? Prior to purchasing heavy-duty batteries for your truck, there are a few things that are good to know. First, always buy good quality batteries. High-quality batteries are an investment in electrical power. Keep in mind, you're probably going to spend more on one tank of fuel than purchasing a set of four new batteries. Second, look for the freshness date information on the battery. The battery manufacture date code will be stamped into the battery. Sometimes the batteries will have a sticker with the month and year date. For best performance, always purchase batteries with the newest birth date. Third, look at the labeled cold cranking power rating, or CCA value. If you're running four batteries connected in parallel, the total amount of CCA is multiplied by four, so 700 CCAs for each battery equals 2,800 CCAs total. As every driver knows, batteries are the heart of a truck's electrical system, so purchasing a good quality battery with the most recent birth date will save you time and money in the long run and ensure that your battery is ready to take care of you when you need it.
This maintenance tip courtesy of Valvoline and Meritor Aftermarket.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio anytime, toll free at 866 90 Red Eye.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-907-3339, 866-90-RED-EYE. It's funny, when you and I are reading the same thing at the same time. Mm-hmm. Didn't even know it. Both of us were reading the SCOTUS blog on the Shelby County versus Holder decision on the Voting Rights Act. And I want to read a couple of sentences here. The Chief Justice delivered the opinion of the court, which was joined by Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, and Alito. The court began by acknowledging that when the Voting Rights Act was enacted, it employed extraordinary measures in the form of restrictions on the independence of the covered states to combat the extraordinary problem of widespread voter discrimination. In 1966, the court explained these restrictions were intended to be temporary, and they were justified, and the formula used to determine who should be covered made sense then. But today, 50 years later, not so much. In the court's eyes, things have changed dramatically. When judged by a variety of measures, such as voter registration, voter turnout, and the number of African Americans elected to office, conditions have improved significantly in the states that are covered by the pre-clearance requirements. The court agrees that these changes are in large part because of the Voting Rights Act. Despite those improvements, the court complains, the formula that determines who must comply with the pre-clearance requirement is based on decades-old data and practices such as literacy tests that were long ago abandoned. Because it isn't fair for Congress to rely simply on the past to single out a few states and local government for unequal treatment based on 40-year-old facts having no logical relationship to the present day, the coverage formula cannot stand. And they emphasized that they don't do this lightly. And they said, look, we have Congress is to blame. 4 years ago, it warned Congress mm-hmm. that the constitutionality of the law was in doubt. Congress could have updated the coverage formula, but it failed to do so. Its failure to act, the court explains, leaves us with no choice but to declare the coverage formula unconstitutional. Now, one of the major points that they made, according to SCOTUS blog, the opposition, the dissent, was, there's been improvements all across, but there's more subtle discriminatory tactics like racial gerrymandering. Well, that happens on both sides.
Mm.
In fact, Democrats in many areas prefer racial gerrymandering.
Mm.
Because they know that in the past, blacks have voted Democrat. And so they try to carve up the congressional districts, too.
Right.
But then again, that goes to the courts all the time. That's taken care of.
Well, think about this. Both sides, they do it out in the open, Gary. Both sides, both
yes.
major parties, what do they do? And what does the news report on? Well, so-and-so is out today visiting a community. He's hoping to increase the black voter turnout that would work in his or her favor. Well, that's done out in the open. So the question is, is any law being broken? Is any voting law or any law otherwise being broken here? If you're talking about manipulation of voters, that's exactly what goes on every day in the political system. 866-90-RED-EYE, here's your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Bonnie Schneider with a look at your forecast for Red Eye Radio. Look for hot temperatures across the country. Many locations will see triple-digit numbers as we go throughout the day. In fact, as you look towards Boise, Idaho, look for a high of 102 degrees, 103 in Salt Lake City, and near record temperatures in Phoenix, Arizona. So hot for this month, we'll see highs near 118 degrees. High temperatures will be much cooler in San Francisco with a high of 74 degrees. And across the country, we're looking at milder temperatures, but a chance for storms in the southeast. Look for highs in the low 90s in Atlanta and Charlotte, as well as Nashville, and a high temperature of 83 degrees in New York City with a chance of thunderstorms. Across Florida, look for afternoon storms as well with highs in the upper 80s, but it will be in the triple digits across the state of Texas. From Dallas, high temperatures 103 to 102 in Lubbock and in San Antonio. I'm Bonnie Schneider.
Thanks so much, Bonnie. 866-907-3339, 866-90-RED-EYE. Yeah, it's really incredible because if you're looking at gerrymandering as part of the Voting Rights Act, then every single state should be under the federal control 24-7
right.
When it comes to rewriting congressional districts whenever they do it, because both sides are trying to get it in their favor, and that includes racial demographics. But widespread institutional racism to keep minorities from voting isn't happening.
It's an all-new web experience, including Eric and Gary's blogs, RedEyeRadioShow.com.
And he's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up just an hour from now, you won't want to miss it. It's going to be really, really good. Hollywood stuntman and professional race driver Mike Ryan joins us. And there's a great event going on this week. Not the hot dog eating contest. That's next week.
No, that's next week. The 4th of July. Yeah. Kubayashi comes in and rules the roost.
Right.
Or who is it? Joey Chestnut?
Joey Chestnut. Then there's a little girl too. I shouldn't call her a girl. I call her a girl because she's so tiny.
She's so tiny.
Yeah.
But
she's a woman. But she's
400 hot dogs later. Yeah.
She's a woman who practices gluttony on a temporary basis.
Wow. And so that's coming up next week. This weekend, they actually used to have it on the same weekend. They used to have it on the 4th of July weekend, the 91st International Pikes Peak Hill Climb. If you're listening on KHOW, you guys know all about this.
Yes.
It happens every year, but they moved it away from the 4th of July weekend. And it's Mike Ryan is going to be once again trying to set another. He holds 7 of the world records in a big rig. And this year he's the only truck in the, and they go up one at a time. It's a timing race.
It's a timing race.
As of last year.
He tries to beat him in a big rig.
Yeah. I'll tell you, man. Well, no, he doesn't compete with the cars.
Right.
He just competes within his class, but he has 7 of the world records.
Right.
And he has, if you just go to YouTube and type in Mike Ryan, R-Y-A-N, and you'll see all of his stuff. There's, I think his, you know the Metallica video for Enter Sandman?
Yes.
Where the big rig is crashing through the bed at the beginning?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The kid's in bed.
That's him?
That's Mike driving that super rig, that big rig. And so it's in Terminator 2,
Is he driving the big rig in Terminator 2?
In Terminator 2, that's Mike did all those stunts. And the big rig stunts, where they're chasing Ed, what's his name, Ed Furlong and Arnold on the motorcycle.
The canal, like through, the L.A.
Through
canal
the L.A.
Scene?
Canal scene, and that's Mike that did all those stunts. Thelma and Louise towards the end, the big rig stunts there, that's Mike. And by the way, I won't bring this up in our conversation with Mike here in an hour, but Mike tells me the story where he sat down with this young actor and told him years ago, you need to be a stuntman. You've got the athletic build. You need to be a stuntman. Acting is great, but you won't get a lot of work. It's a tough town. Working in Hollywood, you know, being a working actor, it's very tough. It was Brad Pitt on the set of Thelma and Louise, his first movie. And so, yeah, Mike's advice didn't work out too well there. But Fast and Furious, the Captain America 2, the new Mad Max, Mike's done over
500 feature films and TV shows he's done.
Remember the Super, I think it was a Super Bowl ad, the Monster Drink Energy, where they're running, it's a big big truck, and it's behind the little tiny Red Bull car. And then so it comes up on it real fast, and the Red Bull car has to pull off to the side, you know, and get out of the way of the big truck. That Mike was actually driving that big truck.
Wow.
So he's done a ton of work and is very, very capable behind the wheel of his truck. Back in the old day, with the old paint scheme, my name was on the back of that truck that would go up Pikes Peak every year. But he's got a new paint scheme, got new sponsors, and he was very generous to leave it on there for years.
I was going
to
say that if you were one of his sponsors, and then he was really hurting at the time.
It was more of a thanks kind of thing, you know?
I know.
And so he put it on there, and it was really great. Yeah. If he's asking me for money, that's really when you know it's bad.
Let's head to you. We go to Scott in Phoenix, Arizona, listening on KTAR. Scott, welcome. Hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Hi.
Hey, I love the show.
Thanks.
Just wanted to give a real quick comment, and then I'll get off the phone. It's basically how we as critical thinkers are up against some very strange ways of considering things racism. I was going to mention a Jimmy Carter quote, and I hope I don't have this wrong because it's something I came across a couple years ago. Opposition to Obamacare is because he is a black man, from Jimmy Carter. As far as I know, that's accurate.
Well, I'll tell you right now, there are people that believe anytime you criticize this president, it's because you're a racist.
Right. That's
And so that's, you know, whether it's accurate, and we can credit the former president for saying that or not, we do know that plenty of people on the left believe that if you criticize him at all on any issue, it's because you're a racist.
Yep.
Yeah. Look, we used to get that a lot whenever we, and we criticize everyone. If you listen to this show, criticize both. I mean, we believe the world should run a particular way, and we don't care whether you have a label of Democrat or Republican in your name, or libertarian. If it disagrees with us, we will tell you why we're right and you're wrong. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't matter to us. But we dealt with that in the beginning. Don't deal with that much anymore.
Right.
Let us talk to. We've got Tony in St. Louis listening on KTRS. Tony, welcome. Hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey.
First time I've seen your show. Really like it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. And by the way, our brand-new affiliate there in the St. Louis area, KTRS.
Yoo-hoo!
Yeah, the big 550.
Yes, you got it.
Yeah.
You guys took over George Norrie's spot.
Yeah.
Promise me you won't talk about aliens or ghosts.
We don't.
You know why? Because we already discussed this about a year ago.
Yeah.
We came up with a solution. You know, they have the Bigfoot, catching Bigfoot on television.
Yeah.
And we have said, look, they were able to, I don't know if you remember the story a couple of years ago, but there was a mountain lion that appeared in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to track him back because of his DNA, that he came from somewhere out west and actually traveled 1,000 miles through Canada. Mm-hmm. And they were able to do it because they have monitoring stations that if an animal brushes by it, it picks up their hair, and so they had the trail by hair. So if you believe that Bigfoot was in the tree, just go to the tree, pull a hair, see that the DNA doesn't match anything, and there, you've discovered Bigfoot.
Yes.
DNA solves all the problems, so it proves that all the Bigfoot shows are Bigfoot BS.
Yes.
Well, I'd love to do that, but I have one comment.
Yes.
I'm going to get back to the start of your show.
Yeah.
Kyle Petty.
Yeah, right.
Danica Patrick is not a race car driver.
Right, right.
If I were to look at Kyle Petty in the face, I'd say, Kyle, were you a race car driver?
Oh!
I was thinking that.
I know your father was.
Right.
And I'm sorry your son died in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
But, Kyle, how many races did you win in your career?
Yeah. You know, it would have Tony, I'm telling you, you're right on, because it would have a greater impact coming from the king. But, Kyle, there's a question.
Wow, I do like that. That's a good comment.
Yes,
except for the fact that there are good commentators that were never, for example, one of my favorite golf commentators, I think maybe only won one golf tournament, and that's, you know, Brandel Chamblee of the Golf Channel, everybody knows.
Right.
But he is such a historian and understands golf. You can understand golf. You can and you can look at other people and analyze their swings and know the history of golf, and he does.
Mm-hmm.
But plenty
of commentators do understand their sport.
Like
exactly. Brian Gumbel, he clearly understands.
Oh, stop it!
Football.
Well, apparently we have a touchdown. There appears to be a touchdown.
No, Bryant, he actually got a touchdown.
Apparently, he is offsides.
NBA players are just high-paid slaves.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Or no, he. I don't know if he said that quote. I think he was talking about the commissioner and calling, you know, saying the commissioner is like a master.
Right.
In their last contract negotiations, and it's like, well, trying to use a slave analogy for people that are, you know, making millions of dollars a year to play basketball.
Yeah, it doesn't fly.
That's a tough one to make because really the concept of a slave is you don't pay them.
Right. You don't pay them, and they don't get the freedom that these folks do.
Let us talk to Brad in San Diego, listening on KFMB. Brad, welcome. Hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Hi.
Hey, you guys.
Hey.
Got a story for you. I'm really disenchanted with America right now. I voted for Romney last election. I went to my voting booth here in San Diego. There was nobody in the line. I walked right in. And I just, you know, I see all the stuff going on with he's not utilizing our energy, the scandals and all that. And I just think, God, what would it be like if Romney was in the office right now instead of him? I can only imagine. You know, I just feel, I don't feel much hope anymore. You know, there's so much scandal, and even the Republicans are like, with immigration and all that, they don't do much for me. I'm just really discouraged. So maybe you guys can
help. Well, here's the thing. Number one, you can still succeed in your own life. Mm-hmm. That's something that my dad told me a long time ago. And when we had, I can't think of the guy's name on, the guy who does Bar Rescue. John Taffer.
John Taffer. I said Jake Taffer.
John Taffer.
Taffer. Taffer.
When John Taffer was on, if you've ever seen the show Bar Rescue, he goes in and helps rescue businesses that are bars. And when you walk in, you see how people are just not running their business right, and they blame everything, the economy, politics. And he says, bunk, if you want to make it, you can make it. And even in the bad times, if you really pay attention, you can do well. But it goes beyond just ourselves. It goes beyond what is the future for our children and grandchildren, which is a paramount concern. Here's the bright point. We have everything that we need, Brad, to make it as a nation. The only reason that we haven't is because of our decisions. China isn't to blame for anything. President Obama isn't even to blame for anything. It is the people of this country, the majority, and how they have voted that have put these politicians in office. The good news is we have the ability, and we're going to be forced to change and make a decision one way or another because we're running out of money. You're going to see, for example, like California. I have a feeling that California may decide to go after the oil and natural gas that they have. Why? Because they have no choice because of the debt and because of the taxes that it can bring in. To help run their, you know.
Yeah, I'm here in San Diego.
Yeah, overspending. I'm talking about the Monterey shale oil that's talked about a lot there. So that's the good news. The good news is we have got the best productivity in the world. Mm. The best news is we still have an independent nature that doesn't exist. There still is in this nation hundreds of millions of people that don't identify with any, you know, the culture doesn't control them. They're independent. They control and do what they want to do, much like we think and like you think and so many conservatives think. They're Americans. They love America, but they're going to go out and do something, and they're going to get the job done, which makes us one of the reasons we have the greatest productivity on the planet. So we've got the natural resources. We've got the productivity. All we have to do is make the decision to do it.
Well, and Brad, here's what I would say, and this is what I started to say. In terms of your lack of confidence in the Republican Party, I think that's justified. We have voiced our lack of confidence for many years in the Republican Party, going back pre-2006 when they lost at the midterm. This is because, again, they have not been able to find that candidate. So it's upon us. We still have the ability to do it. So we adhere to ideas, Brad. We discuss those ideas. And if you apply those ideas and are in constant search for somebody to represent those ideas as a representative of you and for you, then you will be heading in the right direction. It's not always perfect, but it is the best system in the world.
There's never been a better chance in our lives to explain why conservative ideas work.
Right.
And now we have to do it. Very quickly, what President Carter said, quote, I think an overwhelming portion of the intensely demonstrated animosity towards President Barack Obama is based on the fact that he is a black man, that he is African-American, end of quote. So it just wasn't on Obamacare. It was in general that Carter said that.
Which is basically what we said. The criticism, if you criticize him on anything, you're considered to be a racist.
Right. That sort of has ended. You don't, we don't hear that as much anymore.
Right, we don't.
866-907-3339, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-907-3339, 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Stan in Louisville, Kentucky, listening on iHeartRadio. Stan, welcome. Hi, you're on Red Eye Radio.
Hey, first-time caller. Great show.
Thanks.
Hey, yeah, you know, Obama real quietly the other day raised the price of a ton of carbon from, I believe, what, 22 to 38?
Well, I mean, it won't go into effect there for a couple of years still.
Considering his investment in the Chicago Carbon Exchange, wouldn't you call that conflict of interest?
I don't know how it directly comes back to him, if how he would benefit directly, but there might be something worth looking into. Not sure that the media would do it, though, but thank you, Stan. We appreciate it.
Everything has to be in a trust when you're president, so he doesn't know what's going on with his stuff, is what they say, correct? How do they work that?
I think so. I think, yeah, somebody else has to handle that money, even for things like books and other things.
Well, that's a great point. How do you handle that when you say you have to basically keep away from your money? So,
right.
But whatever you're in to begin with, do you have any decision in changing that while you're president, or does somebody have to handle that completely?
Yeah, I don't know, but you could draw a conclusion in many, many items that there is a direct or even indirect effect on your wealth as president when you sign something into law, and it could be many things, not just something that's carbon tax related. It could be many things. I mean, it could be FTC or whatever.
Do you really think that a politician or even an ex-politician would try to make money, you know, based on, you know, carbon or carbon footprint or global warming?
Or pretending that he didn't like the oil industry but selling his network to an oil producer?
Probably not.
Nah.
This is Red Eye Radio on the Cumulus Media Network. Now, live from Dallas, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and things that really make a difference in your life. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-907-3339, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. He is Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up here this hour, we will talk to ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan.
Yeah.
About the Texas governor promising further abortion restrictions. That's been a huge story this week after the filibuster, and it went nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to that. And coming up here at the bottom of the hour, special treat.
Yeah.
Famous Hollywood stunt person, Mike Ryan, will join us. He's also a race car driver, and he's participating in the race up Pikes Peak this weekend that goes on every year.
Yep. His modified Freightliner, which is really cool to see. By the way, later today I'll be blogging about it. There's a link there to Mike's website. You can learn more about it and everything else. But people that are listening on KHOW, you know about this annual Pikes Peak Hill Climb. It's a big deal in your neck of the woods, and it's pretty cool, and we'll talk to Mike all about it.
The Republican reaction was swift and strong Thursday to the Senate's passing of sweeping immigration reform legislation. Many senators predicting the measure will fail in the House of Representatives. Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama, sponsors of the legislation, despite the array of financial establishment and special interest support, failed to hit their target of 70 votes. The more people learned about the bill, the more uneasy they became. Failure to reach 70 votes is significant and ensures the House has plenty of space to chart an opposite course and reject this fatally flawed proposal. Sessions said it's a broken promise, 1,200 pages long. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul said this is a bill led by Democrats. There will be a bill proposed for immigration reform led by Republicans in the House, and I'm hoping that it's something that I can get behind. Here's the difference. In the House, again, when you're a congressman, your district is much smaller. So you don't face the same perceived backlash as some of these Republican senators who need a whole state to vote them into office next time. And so that's why it's almost it will be almost impossible to get this bill through. We've gone through some of the minutia of it at times. I think it even frustrates us to go through the minutia of it because it really doesn't matter when you talk about enforcement because it's up to the administration whether they want to enforce it or not. Right. Nothing is guaranteed. Nothing is really solid when it comes to the enforcement whatsoever. And it really is amnesty first and enforcement later, which is exactly the opposite of what the vast majority of the American public want. So, there's not much. We know this is an administration that will not enforce laws that they don't want to enforce.
Right. When Rubio was talking about it, last week before, where he said, well, this, what we want to do is we want to focus on something that will put enforcement in the backseat. I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically was making the point that getting the legal status for these illegal immigrants, currently illegal immigrants, is a priority over enforcement. Well, wait a minute. That's not what we have wanted and what a lot of people have wanted. Enforcement first. Let's see what you're going to do. Let's see something with teeth that shows that enforcement is going to be there.
Well, we asked a simple question. Take the politics out of it. What is the problem? Let's look at it from a problem-solving point of view. What is the problem that we have, and how do you plan to cure that problem? Mm-hmm. We were told in 1986 that immigration reform would make it so we wouldn't have to do it again. We found out that's not the case.
Right.
We were promised that with this one also. We're going to have strict border enforcement, and this is a plan that's going to work. To legalize those people who have been here because that's the moral thing to do and their kids that have been here. They've been here for a long time. It's the right thing to do, but we want to enforce the border so this doesn't happen again.
Well
we already know through the government analysis that at the minimum, this is the government saying it, the analysis of it, that we're still going to have 75% of the illegal immigration that we have now. And that's if all of the border requirements are met, and there is no guarantee that those border requirements will be met.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it does nothing to stop the flow of illegal immigration, and the part that's really deadly, and we brought this up a couple of times, that everything the president or the Democrats have proposed this week hurts the economy, hurts job growth, hurts the American worker, and the CBO also said that with this bill, that unemployment for American citizens, current American citizens, would go up, and the average pay of Americans would go down because as a direct result of the immigration bill. So, again, what is the problem and what are your solutions to solving it is a question that we have asked, and nobody can answer that question.
And it won't be the last time because there will still, after this, there will be illegal immigration because there won't be strict enforcement. And even the strictest of enforcement will not solve the problem completely. So you will have some degree of illegal immigration, which means what? At another point in the future, we're going to have to do this again.
Yep. And why? Because they've been here for a while, and they've become part of their communities. Well, then why are we doing
it? It'll be the same argument.
Right.
It's the exact same debate. It'll just happen over and over again.
Immigration.
So the question is, what is the real solution?
Immigration Groundhog Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to Jimmy in Summerlin, Nevada, listening on KBET. Jimmy, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Very good.
You know, when you put on that interview or the discussion earlier with the professors, it didn't surprise me at all because, you know, we have so many people who still believe that the Democrat Party is the Civil Rights Party. I mean, this is the group that, you know, they don't even know that it was Republicans who are the ones that passed the Voting Rights Act in the first place.
Mm.
It was the Republicans a Republican president who used the power of the military to let those children go to school in Little Rock. It was a Republican president who represented the party that was the first civil rights party, the Republican Party. So it doesn't surprise me that these people, if they've been, taught in our public school system where we have teachers telling our children that the founding fathers were nothing but a bunch of rich white men who were, slave owners, well, what do we expect? We expect with this, you garbage in, garbage out, and then we have these people, they get to the highest levels of education, they still don't understand that they're on the wrong side of history, and they always have been. And it was the southern states that were run by a bunch of, Bull Connor was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Wallace was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's not, they're being disingenuous to begin with, because they're not trying to do anything but have, again, greater control themselves. I mean, that's exactly what they're looking for,
well,
greater
but
political control.
Not only that, but it's almost as if the symbolism of fighting racism is more important than actually fighting racism, because
right.
If you truly want to fight racism, you don't go by a map that's 48 years old to target areas where these things aren't happening anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, you would want, if you truly care about racism, you would want Congress to update and say, look, where are the places today that are the problem if they exist? Is they're widespread, and that's the key. The term is widespread racism.
Mm-hmm.
Was there widespread discriminatory practices from keeping blacks to vote? And back then there was.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't anymore. Yeah, but there's instances of racism. They exist. Well, of course they do, but that was not the intent of the law. The intent of the law was to stop massive racism, institutional government racism, that was keeping minorities from going to the polls.
Right.
And that's not happening anymore. And
well,
if it is happening, then Congress and the Justice Department should find out where those places are and not use a map from 1965 to say, well, these states here had racism back in 1965. The boroughs of New York did. Some counties in California, South Dakota, also had them. And therefore, we need to keep focusing on those areas. That's dumb. If you truly are against racism and not the imagery of racism, you would want Congress to update it. You would be angry that they're using a map from 1965
mm-hmm.
instead of seeing where the potential racism is today and focusing in on that. You'd be angry that they've been rubber stamping the Voting Rights Act every time it comes up for another vote because everybody's afraid to vote. I can't vote against the Voting Rights Act and the renewal of it for another 5 or 6 years, so I'm going to vote for it. Mm-hmm. You would insist that they focus in and find the areas today and use the formula today to identify racism, not literacy tests.
Right, and assume, too, that it's not exclusive to one location. It might be there. It might be at work at a greater level in one location over the other, but to say that the map, that we need to use a map from decades ago,
right?
But the key is in
states, it doesn't exist anymore. You don't have widespread institutional racism to keep anybody from voting. There's no evidence of it, none, and they know it. And the fact is, it's the imagery that they want to keep. Or I think they look at it and say, well, these areas were once racist. The imagery of the federal government being able to, you know, for example, I think they love the fact, you know, that Texas
mm-hmm.
is under, oh, yeah, good. We got Texas.
Right.
You know, the federal
right.
government, our administration, we'll make it hard.
Well, they had two boroughs in New York.
We'll make it hard for Texas. Yeah, but they look at Texas. The voter ID in Texas really ticked them off.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really has. Did they talk about it in Georgia when Georgia implemented their
right.
voter ID?
Right.
Indiana? What about that?
Right. And as we said, the when they put the voter ID in, what did it do? It has increased the number of minorities that have gone to the polls
right.
and voted.
Right.
More of your calls and comments coming up. 866-907-3339, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Larry in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Larry, welcome. Hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hello, Larry. Larry's not there. Okay.
It sounds like UFO feedback there.
Yes.
You hear that?
We go to Mark in Arizona listening on KNKI. Mark,
there.
Welcome. Hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi. In regards to the way the feds are so sudden death on voter ID laws, et cetera,
It has occurred to me that the powers that be actually want these illegals registered and voting because most of them will vote Democrat. So, as they say in the trade, ignore what they say and watch what they do. And what they are doing is making it very easy for illegals to register and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's what I think is happening.
Yeah, no, I think that was you know, part of the game to begin with, and that's basically what it is. This has been a play for votes all along. It's not only a play for to have illegals eventually have the right to vote, but it's also to play up to the Hispanic community and other minorities who believe, or other groups that believe, that these immigrants should be given legal status right away.
And that's why people, you know, have said, well, you know, there's calls that, you know, racist policy is still going on. Well, yeah, voter ID laws by this administration are viewed as a racist policy.
Right.
And it was interesting because you found a story from back in November. You have a good memory.
Thank you very much.
That and we had mentioned this earlier in the show, but for those people just waking up, because we're talking about, you know, voter, constitutional ruling on the Voters Voting Rights Act. But Democrat claims that large number of Americans could be prevented from voting because of photo identification laws are probably overstated based on the evidence from Georgia and Indiana, two states where the laws have been in place for multiple elections. Mm-hmm. A major Democrat criticism of the law is that they suppress voter turnout among the young, minorities, and the elderly, who are less likely to have required to have the required photo identification and more likely to vote Democratic. Yet the opposite has occurred in Indiana and Georgia.
Right. The turnout is greater since they put voter ID laws into effect in both of those states. The turnout and registration by black voters is greater.
Yes. And so, again, they're just looking for anything. And we live in a society now. Remember, racism is their only defense.
Mm-hmm.
We play you the comments all the time. On the substance of almost every issue out there, the Democrats do not have the substance of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's economic, whether it's on energy, whether it's on the deficit, they have all the wrong answers. And so their only response is everything is racism.
Mm-hmm.
And they're continuing to do that now. And the Supreme Court is no different.
Right.
Like I said, with minority writing that, you know, gerrymandering is something that we have to look into, that happens from both sides. Racial gerrymandering we have to get rid of. The Democrats don't want to get rid of it.
No.
This story is interesting here. Police on Thursday night were back. You and I had talked about this yesterday and said, what in the world's going on with Aaron Hernandez? Why would he care? Because we didn't know this backstory here about what was going on. But it's like, why would he care if somebody was talking to the wrong people, one of his friends? Why would you kill somebody over that? Police on Thursday were back at the Massachusetts home of former NFL player Aaron Hernandez. According to a law enforcement source with the knowledge of the ongoing investigation into an unsolved 2012 double homicide in Boston, Hernandez, who was being investigated in connection with that 2012 case, is accused of orchestrating the killing of a man whose body was found last week less than a mile from Hernandez's home. Massachusetts State Police late Thursday said they were seeking a man as an accessory after the fact in the death of Odin Lloyd, who was found less than a mile from the home of former NFL tight end Aaron Hernandez. The police department tweet linked to a poster that described Ernest Wallace as being armed and dangerous. In most states, accessory refers to aiding someone suspected of committing a felony. Hernandez is charged with first-degree murder in the case. And apparently this was another case in 2012 where there was a drive-by shooting.
Hmm.
And they believe that Hernandez was involved in it, and Odin apparently was there.
Wow.
And so if he was talking to the wrong people, he's looking at him as, you know, you can now start connecting the dots and saying,
right,
did Hernandez look at the victim here of the latest shooting? Did he view him as a threat?
Right.
Because
did he think he was going to go to the authorities or something?
He was a witness, or he was
right,
opening his mouth in that particular case.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in some sports publications, it brought the idea that, oh, wow, So if this happened, then he was playing in the NFL last year after murdering two people or being involved in the murdering of two people.
Right, right.
Don't know, you know, the alleged murder.
No one has said about what the level of his involvement in that.
We don't know exactly what the connection is or whether he allegedly, according to authorities, actually held the weapon or did the shooting or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any verification on that. But still, you think about it, you have to have New England Patriots players that are shook up by this one, especially the new information that has come out.
Yeah, yeah. And this has to be, because it was kind of a shock the other morning when he was arrested. You know, people think, what? And murder?
Yep.
And then now you go, and then there's this possibility that he might be linked to three people being dead? Wow. Here is your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Bonnie Schneider with a look at your forecast for Red Eye Radio. Look for hot temperatures across the country. Many locations will see triple digit numbers as we go throughout the day. In fact, as you look towards Boise, Idaho, look for a high of 102 degrees, 103 in Salt Lake City, and near record temperatures in Phoenix, Arizona. So hot for this month, we'll see highs near 118 degrees. High temperatures will be much cooler in San Francisco with a high of 74 degrees. And across the country, we're looking at milder temperatures, but a chance for storms in the southeast. Look for highs in the low 90s in Atlanta and Charlotte, as well as Nashville, and a high temperature of 83 degrees in New York City with a chance of thunderstorms. Across Florida, look for afternoon storms as well with highs in the upper 80s, but it will be in the triple digits across the state of Texas. From Dallas, high temperatures 103 to 102 in Lubbock and in San Antonio. I'm Bonnie Schneider.
Thanks so much, Bonnie. When I was in high school, there was a kid I knew, and he killed a girl. And he went to school for 2 weeks, and I talked to him during that time at his locker. I'll never forget that. And he was charged and convicted of murder.
Yeah. Wow.
So that is, I can imagine the New England Patriots going through that, because that was a weird time.
Yeah.
Coming up, Hollywood stunt person Mike Ryan.
The longest show in America every night. Don't miss a minute. Red Eye Radio.
Thank you, Deep Voice Guy. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
Gale Banks and Mike Ryan are a couple of guys who know how to set records. And coming up this Sunday at the annual Pikes Peak International Hill Climb, they plan to do just that. And we'll tell you how as they join us right now from near Pikes Peak. And gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Eric.
It's great to have you here. Listen, let's talk about the International Hill Climb there at Pikes Peak. Mike, tell us what is new for this year. First of all, for those who don't know, Mike, give us a background. How long have you been climbing the Pikes Peak and setting records there?
I think this is our 17th year, Eric.
Wow.
And our 15th year in a semi-truck, in a Freightliner.
Man, this is really awesome. And now you teamed up with Banks Power, and we're going to talk more about that in just a moment. But what is it like to get geared up for this event, this annual event? I know this is kind of, you know, peak season, if you will. Pardon the pun, pun intended, actually. But you work year round in getting the truck ready. Now, obviously, teaming up with Banks Power is a big part of this year's event, but what is different about that Freightliner, this year?
Eric, this is a game changer completely. You know, it's kind of one of those overnight successes that took 17 years to happen. What Banks has done to this truck, there's a list, a long list, and it really just changes the whole face of it and how it performs and takes it to a level that I've never experienced before. So I'm, humbled and honored and thrilled and amazed. And, you know, we've been up here practicing for the last two mornings. We get out of bed at 3 a.m. We leave the motel at 3:30. We drive about 30 minutes and get up to the mountain and practice a third of the mountain each day. So, and they divide all of the competitors into thirds so that over a 3-day period of time, each group of thirds gets to experience and practice on each part of the mountain.
Hey, Mike, this is Gary. Got to ask this question as a layperson here and actually never have seen the Pikes Peak annual hill climb. It's 12.4 miles up Pikes Peak. Now, you're looking to set the world record. What is the world record for 12.4 miles going up?
Well, we're looking to set the world record in a semi-truck, which we now have 7 records under our belt here, which is currently 12 minutes and almost 12:39, 12:38 something, I believe.
Yeah.
And we've brought that down in our time here, 3 minutes and 10 seconds. And they say that's the biggest reduction in any class record since pre-World War II. So
wow.
That's something we're pretty proud of, is just doing the evolution, you know, as the truck industry grows and evolves and engineering and technology affect the trucks that we drive, you know, we're kind of getting that stuff a few years in advance. And things that Gale Banks is doing now, you know, we may see in the future. But right now, we're kind of the only ones with it.
12.4 miles is the actual race. How far up do you go? What's the altitude change?
We start just shy of 9,400 feet of sea level.
Wow.
I think it's 9,390, something like that.
Wow.
And we go to 14,110. So nearly a mile of elevation change.
Yeah.
And 12.5 miles and 156 turns to go through to get there.
And by the way, if you just go to YouTube and type in Mike Ryan, and you're going to get just hours and hours worth of great video to watch of all the things that he's done, but some of the Pikes Peak stuff in the years past. Am I reading right, Mike? We have a paved road all the way to the top this year?
Completely paved as of last year. Last year was
okay.
The first year that Pikes has been paved to the summit.
Okay. And so what did that change last year for you? Because obviously you have been doing this for many years, and that pavement is that obviously that's got getting better traction along the way, has got to help improve the time along with the technology from Banks Power, right?
Yes, without a doubt. We've seen records fall, a tremendous amount of records fall last year with the completion of the pavement. We're now seeing globally recognized competitors come here in the unlimited class.
Yeah.
I mean, people from over 15 different countries are here competing. So it's become this big deal again. It kind of fell out of the limelight over the last decade.
Mm.
Long story short, the Sierra Club sued the mountain to get them to pave it completely, which had something to do with runoff.
Yeah, okay.
But anyhow.
Right.
Long story short, the mountain got paved, but the last 10 years it's been some of this and some of that, and it's been very difficult to race on asphalt, dirt.
Yeah.
Now that it's all asphalt, the cars that are showing up, I mean, we have the guy that just won the 24-hour Le Mans last weekend.
Wow.
He's here. The world rally champion 7 times over, Sebastian Loeb, he's here, in an unlimited class. And, you know, unfortunately, we are the only truck here this year.
Oh, wow.
But fortunately, since we're the only one,
mm-hmm.
we're the ones that everybody looks at.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got the unlimited cars, and then you got that guy in the truck, you know, that everybody seems to pay attention to.
And Gail, this has got to be exciting, teaming up with Mike Ryan Racing here, you know, getting involved in something like this. I know that you have followed Mike for a long time. You know Mike. What's it like, and what is Banks Power bringing to the table for this racing team?
Well, the thing that got me here was Humvees in Afghanistan and wanting to improve the special forces up armored Humvees at high altitude.
Mm.
The guys in the Navy were looking for 14,000 feet as a test altitude, and by God, that was Pikes Peak.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, I came here. I've run the last 2 years unlimited car with a gentleman, Paul Dallenbach, and last year, I noticed Mike's truck was laying down a lot of smoke, leaving the starting line and coming off the turns. And I thought, you know, I had just completed a marine engine build for consideration by the Navy using a supercharger and 2 turbochargers on my V8 diesel marine engines.
Right.
And tested down at Coronado at the amphibious base down there with the Navy guys, and it beat the Cummins based marine engine that I did for him 10 years ago just to pieces, especially out of the hole. So the minute I saw Mike, saw the smoke, I thought, you know, we want to keep that in the engine, and that's fuel in the air. That's horsepower you can see and never feel.
Right.
And we want to help just bang him off the turns, and the supercharger does that.
Yeah.
And then the turbos take over, and you can use a gargantuan turbocharger when you've got a supercharger bringing it out of the hole.
Mm.
So we have done that, and we've also done some kind of a, we've been working on a methanol injection system to reduce the emissions in diesel engines and improve mileage and also improve power. You got a lot of capability with this straight shot injection system we're coming out with here in a few months. And I thought, let's try it on Mike. Well, it adds about 400 horsepower when it's running.
Wow.
So, and you know, so between the get them off the turns faster, get them down the straight faster, we also took this methanol injection system, another one of them, put nozzles inside each brake rotor, and we're water cooling the brake rotors when he's on the pedal. So he can go deeper into the turns and have a lot of brake reserve. That's all about time on the course. It shortens the time on the course if you can go faster and then brake later.
Yeah. Well,
so,
it's amazing to look at this the fact that Banks Power and Mike Ryan Racing are teaming up together, and what you have done here. And we cannot wait to see the results. Of course, that's coming up this Sunday at the 91st annual Pikes Peak International Hill Climb. Just great stuff. Mike, listen, every year, one year we woke you up to do one of these interviews in the middle of the night. We were so afraid that we would interrupt your sleep, because I think it was the night before the race, a night or two before the race. So, you know, we're going to let you get a little bit of rest here and try and not get in the way. And that's what I try and do every year. I've been watching you on Facebook. We're friends on Facebook, and watching the pictures come across. But more importantly, you are in our thoughts and prayers for a safe race up the Pikes Peak climb this year, because we know that it is not just a fun race, but it is also a dangerous situation to be in. So we just want everyone to know that that's going on this Sunday. And Mike, we can find out more at your website, MikeRyanMotorsports.com, or at BanksPower.com.
Oh,
and,
yeah, on Banks Power, we've got the whole build.
Yeah.
For the guys that are like to wrench.
Yeah.
The whole thing is there.
Awesome. Well, we'll send people there. BanksPower.com, MikeRyanMotorsports.com. Mike, you're in our thoughts and prayers as always, buddy. Mm-hmm. We wish you all the best. Go out there, get us another record, and we'll be looking for that Sunday evening after all is said and done. Mike, thank you so much for being on.
Eric, you guys don't worry about me losing some sleep. I really appreciate it. And
awesome.
You and I have been friends for many years, and been on the board of directors of Trucker Buddy together. And
that's right.
We've done a lot of cool things together. So I'm just so appreciate you having us on there.
Well, it's awesome. And hats off to the Freightliner team and our friends at Detroit Diesel, too, for the power that they put under that hood. And Gail Banks, you know, hats off to you. And we hope that a lot of this technology will be in the hands of those defending freedom all around the world, and that it will mean great things for them as well. So, Mr. Banks, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Got it. Thank you so much.
All right.
Take care.
Wow. 9,000 feet to 14,000 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
Jeez, I'm just thinking about that.
Yeah,
like, wow.
And he's going really fast.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have an exciting weekend, maybe a round of golf.
There you go.
Maybe that's what I'll do.
And I'm gonna redo my fence with some finishing, some protectant, and some weatherproofing
you
on my
daredevil
fence.
You daredevil, without a tether?
Maybe without a mask.
Yeah. Coming up,
or a tether.
Coming up next, another Ryan.
Yes.
Jim Ryan.
Yes.
On Texas and abortion. Mm. Next.
Natural gas trucks are already on the road, both LNG and CNG. Freightliner's Greg Trinan tells us what role Freightliner is playing in the rollout.
We've been building natural gas trucks, about 2,000 of them over the last 4.5 years. The Cummins Westport ISLG and our M2 and S114SD product lines. Our first deployment of natural gas trucks a few years ago was all LNG out in Southern California. Since then, because of the limited LNG infrastructure, just about everything we sell is CNG. Even in applications where some might think, you know, CNG versus LNG might not be the best. You know, they've made it. We've had a lot of fleets that have been able to make CNG work. You know, we've seen, you know, especially you got the clean energies, you know, partnering with the Flying J, they've built up some of those stations. Now it's, you know, a lot of those being LNG. You know, previously LNG had been rather limited, so now we're waiting kind of to build a few more of those LNG trucks to, you know, fill up at those stations.
Rochelle Rotella, that's the Engine Report.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio anytime. Toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All right, Gary, we've been hearing about the big filibuster there in Texas, in Austin, Texas, over the abortion bill that did not get through the Texas legislature. Let's find out what the latest is. As Governor Perry says, they're going to pursue this even further. Jim Ryan from ABC is in Texas to fill us in. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Eric. There will be another special session of the Texas legislature. It will happen early next month. It will run the 20 days, the typical 20 days, during which the Republicans will again try to push for new restrictions on abortion clinics. They say that it's an effort to try to ensure that the health of women is protected. Democrats in the Texas Senate and the House, for that matter, say that it's an effort to close down abortion clinics. So that fight aside, it's starting to get personal between the two main figures in all of this, the governor of Texas and the Fort Worth state senator who lobbied and who managed to run this 11-hour filibuster, which essentially derailed the piece of legislation earlier this week.
Could we see Groundhog Day again? Could she filibuster next time, too?
She could, yeah. It was the second time, in fact, that she has filibustered successfully. She did so in 2011 over the state budget, and again, it resulted in a special session that time around, too. I think that most political analysts watching this, though, say that it's likely that this will come up for a vote during the next special session, and that it's likely to pass.
Well, have they said how they might control the crowds? Because right there, they had people in the halls. The DPS, by the way, state police officer, said it was really tough just getting through that area because there were so many people there. But obviously, they were making noise, and that noise was very disruptive to the process. Have they said whether or not they will close that to people? Because, I mean, this is the people's place. This is the Capital belongs to the people. Have they said what they might do in terms of controlling the noise?
They haven't. You're right. You're talking about trying to balance two interests here. That is the right of people to go in and watch the government doing its business and to make some level of noise during that whole process, but also the responsibility of lawmakers to try to get something done. There's also public safety involved.
Sure, absolutely.
About folks, you know, trampling out of there or being forced out, then you look at public safety, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim.
ABC's Jim Ryan in Texas.
This is Red Eye Radio on the Cumulus Media Network.